Welcome back to Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. On this special episode, we are covering the first half of Bad Batch Season 1. We just got Episode 8, so that's the halfway mark, and we've got a special guest. We're going to get right into that right after these ads that we don't have any control over. Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation, a conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series, yeah. That's right, we are back, Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. I'm your host, J. Scotty St. Clair, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Zuhair Ali. And joining us is a very special guest. A host on this network that many people probably already know. He is an established voice actor, and he's a person whose ass I've already kissed a lot, and I will continue to do so. So I won't bury the lead here. Mr. Jeff Randall, welcome to Animation Deliberation. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy to be here, man. Get to talk about cartoons, finally.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Great to have you here. And Zuhair?
Darn the MCU for not doing enough animated stuff.
Right.
Well,
I'm looking forward to bringing both of you guys on for literally every episode of What If.
Yes.
I recently tweeted at Marvel, like at Marvel Studios, I'm like, shouldn't we be getting some sort of news about What If soon? Like even maybe just a release date would be all right.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't it?
They're on the Black Widow finally hitting theaters and Loki being out high train right now.
You know what? Why don't we keep that train rolling and get some news about What If?
Yeah.
I mean, like Miss Minutes, she's kind of like the bridge between an animated character. Yeah. We can just roll that train right into What If. I'm down for it. Loki basically is What If in its own way, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have an episode every week just about Miss Minutes' appearance.
Oh my God, yes. I mean,
pancake.
It's Tara Strong, so you kind of have to.
True.
You know?
Very true.
She gets her own, like, series of episodes here, probably.
Yeah, Tara Strong, she will probably get an entire, what's the word I'm looking for? Volume dedicated to her.
That would be cool if they made a series off of her that, like, you know how they have, like, the Legends? But instead of Legends, it's just Miss Minutes explaining the background of all these characters coming up in new series.
Oh my God, yes! Oh, for the longest time, we as MCU fans have like been begging for Louise to do the
recaps.
Yeah,
yeah.
But instead we need... Oh, what if it was her and him? Like, we had Miss Minutes and Louise.
Okay.
Could you imagine her doing an episode on him?
Hey, y'all.
Well, this man talks super fast.
Have y'all ever heard the tale of the greatest narrator in the multiverse? I'll sit right down.
We're digressing real hard.
Though. We are.
This is our audition tape for you having us on your show for MCU stuff. We can talk about
how we doing. Okay. How we doing?
Well, you need to step up your game just a touch.
All right. Let's get this train back on track. So. We're not here to talk Loki.
We already derailed. That puts us like in perfect category for your show.
That's what I'm saying. Like you need to derail harder.
Oh, okay.
Step up the derailment game.
First, yeah.
We need to be three topics over by now.
We got to keep MCU's train going and derail ours. Got it.
Okay. So that was the level of derailment. You have to go like two shows over and start derailing another podcast to reach the true level of derailment there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean. that's how we roll? I don't know.
Choo-choo.
Okay.
So about the other Disney property.
Yeah, we are here to talk about Bad Batch, but while we are getting this train back on track and doing a little bit of housekeeping here, I do believe that we got another 5-star review. The reviews that we get here are the lifeline of this show. So Zuhair, what did we get this time around? What do you got for me?
We got one from Ron P. 1979. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely loving this podcast. The guys knew their information, were well balanced, and very enthusiastic about the content. I subscribed and will be waiting to listen to more.
Ooh.
I'm glad I come off as knowing what I'm talking about.
No worries. I appreciate that, Ron. We will. We plan to be here for quite a long time to come, as long as this show doesn't continue to get derailed too much. So.
I better go, though.
All right, guys.
I was looking at your icon. What is this thing called? Your logo. God,
yes, sir.
Words are hard. I was looking at your logo, and like I see in there, you know, the expected Ninja Turtles, the Goku of it all. Mm-hmm. But what really piqued my interest more than anything was Goliath.
Ooh.
Sitting there up top.
Yeah.
From Gargoyles.
Yeah, I'm glad you appreciate that.
Oh, I loved Gargoyles when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that that Commander Riker was the voice of Xanatos, I lost my shit. I lost it. I was like, what? He's a bad guy. But he so casually swings his leg over chairs.
Now, Commander Riker, so do you know that voice actor off the top of your head?
It's Jonathan Frakes.
Ah.
Yeah, he was Commander Riker in Star Trek Next Generation.
Ah,
which
see,
I also
that,
grew up watching.
Ah, see, that's where you lost me a little bit. I am very much aware of many of the fandoms within this network, but Star Trek is one of the ones that I have the biggest blind spots for. So I recognize the name, but I couldn't quite place it. So
you didn't even lose me. I was just totally left behind.
Ouch. Okay. All right.
All right.
So Jeff.
Yeah. What
Jay Scotty
me to
has
be here.
So Jay Scotty has been talking to Matthew Fox over on the Star Wars Universe podcast every week to do
pretty much
like,
every week
yeah. feedback and whatnot. So you and I are getting a lot of our thoughts out for the first time. And
okay.
I was doing somewhat of a rewatch as much as I could before I naturally got distracted. And that first episode still manages to make me like tear up with the intensity of it. What have you thought about this show as a whole? Like, what were your thoughts going into it, and like, how has it met your standard so far?
It's a lot of questions all at once.
Yeah, you'll answer them at some point.
We'll eventually get there. As far like, I can agree with you. That first episode when they got Order 66, and you know, all the regs, as they call them, mm-hmm. all the regular clones were like slaughtering the Jedi. And they were chasing the Padawan to try to like just try to figure out what was going on. I was mm-hmm. scared for everybody involved, and it was like, you know, at first I was thinking, okay, this is just another, you know, another Star Wars: The Clone Wars, where it's going to be a little bit slow at the beginning to try to get into. It's going to be, you know, kind of a rough start, and they blew away that expectation because especially that first episode was so freaking good and was so touching. I watched it. I remember watching it at least twice that first day, and having wow. watched it again later. And I kind of feel bad in that I waited several weeks to watch any more than that first episode. But, you know, I'm a super busy guy. You know, yeah. I've got a lot going on in my life. But no, I just it wasn't. It's not the first thing that I thought of every, you know, every week or whatever. Like we were doing a lot of planning for MCU Cast. I got a lot of things going with the Twitch stream. But
of course, yeah.
But the once I like when you guys were like, oh yeah, we need to get circle back on talking about Bad Batch. I was like, oh crap, I've forgotten to watch that show entirely. So I just binged all of it except for the most recent two episodes, because it was like a week ago. I just binged all of them. Was like, why haven't I been watching this? It's so good.
I feel like that actually kind of worked out for you, because my opinion has been that the first episode was very movie-like, and mm-hmm. then it got somewhat episodic from there.
Oh yeah, I definitely feel the episodic nature. It kind of feels Monster of the Week, Planet of the Week, sort
yeah.
of, in that it's like we have a new. You know, we got a new scheme, or we got a new thing, a new threat that we have to, you know, encounter and deal with. But I think the biggest thing is the character growth between Hunter and Omega, and and seeing how Crosshair is developing and like all of those guys and how they interact with everybody else in the world. I know that there are characters that that I don't know anything about from not having watched Rebels, not watching the Clone Wars animated series. Like,
you haven't seen it.
I see characters on there and I'm like, I feel like this is a bigger person than what is happening here. And then I Google it and I'm like, ah, I see.
Like, probably should have watched more. These other amazing shows.
Yeah, so, I should.
Jeff,
I should.
Jeff, I don't think I knew that. You have not seen the Clone Wars, any of it.
I have not. Well, oh, wow. I've watched like the first probably 8 episodes of season 1 of the Clone Wars, but it's so slow. It's so slow.
You would honestly be very happy just watching the last season.
Yeah, I watched the first 4 episodes of season 7 in preparation for the Bad Batch, and I felt like they flowed pretty nicely, and they felt like the perfect precursor going into the Bad Batch. But I'm curious, you being kind of in the same boat that I am in terms of not having seen Rebels or the Clone Wars, you talk about not getting some of the references to some of these characters, but I've talked about it with Matthew Fox on the Star Wars Universe podcast. Do you think that they're doing a good job of introducing these characters into a fold to where everybody's on board? It doesn't matter what your level of familiarity is with the franchise.
Both of you make me sad.
I'm sorry, Zoo. I'm sorry. Well, the thing with these is I appreciate what they're doing, like the way that they're doing it, because they're not holding my hand. They're not waiting for me.
Right.
You know, they're not bringing everything down to my level. This show is not targeted at me. It's targeted at the people who have watched everything.
Sure.
And they still make it good enough to where I am like, my God, this is so good. For instance, the episode where they had to go and steal the droid head from the decommissioning factory.
Right.
You know, those two characters show up and I'm like, this feels important. I feel like other people are knowing these names being called out. And it feels like one of those little nod situations where I'm not in on the joke, but other people are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're nodding at the other people. I'm like, well, hold on, let me just Google this real quick. And I Google their names. I'm like, oh, okay. And, and then that links to, I could go down a rabbit hole here. And, you know, that's kind of how I live my MCU life. That's how I've gotten to the point of being called the comics guy on the MCU cast and having not read many comics.
Sure.
I just go down all the internet rabbit holes because I'm like, ooh, and that links to that. Well, I'm going to go read about that.
So I have a question. I watched Rebels, and there was one big one that I missed. Did you know who the Padawan was in the first episode?
Kanan? What's his name?
Okay, if you're asking, that answers it.
Kanan Jarrin, right?
Freddie Prinze Jr. That's all exactly. You need to know. I know the voice actors.
Yeah.
I can tell you about D. Bradley Baker all day long. That guy's a legend.
I was watching it on an airplane ride when I was going to Tennessee because I knew people were going to ruin it for me the second I reached. It slipped my mind because it was so early in the morning the first time that I watched it. And then when I met up, everybody was like, oh, yeah, that was Kanan. And I was like, oh, shit, that's a big crossover because he was one of the main characters of Rebels. And throughout Rebels, he talks about how he doesn't trust clones because he watched his master die and everything, so I wasn't expecting to actually see how it all happened.
Yeah. That has so much more impact there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I missed... it was already really emotional.
Yeah.
And I missed even more of it. I feel bad. Why am I here? Why am I here to talk about this?
To be fair, I didn't know you hadn't watched until just now, so... This is news to me, too.
Nah, I'm an excitable person. I'll make it enjoyable, I promise. Don't kick me out.
But you enjoy Star Wars, and you can speak on film and shows eloquently, so you still have value here.
Just having the knowledge of the voice actors speaks volumes already, so...
Did you watch Mandalorian?
Mando? Yeah, I recorded the two seasons worth of podcasts on the Star Wars Universe podcast for The Mandalorian.
Okay. Right.
So what did you think of Fennec popping up?
Fennec. Oh, God, when Fennec Shand showed up, I was like, hold up. Do what now?
Yeah.
I was like, I was doing hardcore timeline math in my head. Like, no, that was, and this is about when, and then she's got to be young.
Yeah.
Or she's really old in The Mandalorian.
I mean, in real life, she doesn't age either, so who knows?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, she's a Highlander. I mean, Ming-Na Wen is just a Highlander, so. Yeah.
Chops off the heads of other bounty hunters.
Okay. Yeah, there could be only one.
I'm glad you asked that question, Zuhair, because it's kind of a good transition. I wanted to ask, like, what was your favorite episode or favorite moments from this first half of the season? Because on the subject of Fennec Shand, that was my favorite episode, episode 4, Cornered, everything, getting that connectivity to the world of The Mandalorian. But I talked about the chase sequence and just how well that was shot and the choice of the camera placement and deciding not to cut. I mean, I know it's animated, but still, there's something to be said for doing an entire take and having these renders and these models never cut the camera and just having the foresight to plan action out that well. I was just completely blown away. And what was that the moon planet or the moon of Pantera? Was that moon?
I don't think so. I think the moon was when they had the electric beast.
Oh, maybe you're right. Okay. Maybe that was Ord Mantell then? Whatever planet it was, I was really impressed with how it was able to evoke multiple worlds of Star Wars. Chiefly in that chase sequence, there were a lot of homage being paid to episode 2 in particular. So I open up the floor to you guys, like, favorite episodes, favorite moments, what do you got?
I mean, the opening sequence of the first episode was amazing. The training sequence was good. Everything with Crosshair has been so good. I've loved every time that he's popped up. And I haven't talked about episode 8 with you at all yet, but when I was expecting, was it Cad Bane?
Cad Bane, right.
To show up. I expected Hunter to get shot in the chest at some point, just was not expecting it to be by him. And when woke up and they actually did that first perspective of, where's Omega? And Wrecker, like, dragging him out and watching them get shot, I was like, this is like the last battle of Halo Reach. This is so intense right now.
Right? Right? Oh, man. That was such a good perspective to have on it, too. Like, it felt like being inside Tony Stark's helmet, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there was, like, a split second of, you've always wondered, like, what clones see because the Stormtrooper's aim is just so garbage. It's like, what does it actually look like through those helmets? So it's like, that's what it looks like. That actually does that look really, that's a very narrow sight of field. Like, it's amazing that you're as perceptive as you are.
Right. it makes sense now. It makes sense that they can't hit shit.
Yeah, it's basically just a big reticle in the middle of the visor, right?
I was watching the episode about when they were talking about the benefits of, like, replacing the clones with new people. It's like, they will have skills that the clones never had and this and that. And I was like, well, AIM wasn't one of them. You gave up everything for AIM. Like, no. No, this was not a step up for you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Death Star 1 would be running so fine if you just stopped clones.
Right?
It's so much cheaper to just rip people from their families, though, instead of, you know, invest all this money into training and getting proper genetic material.
Yeah, but the more batches they make, the farther it gets from good. Like, it would have gone downhill anyway.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's what we're led to believe, at least, by the Kaminoans. That word is hard.
So did you have a favorite episode or moment, Jeff?
I'm thinking. It's difficult because there's so many, but every scene with Wrecker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Wrecker has been my favorite character, even though he has, like, he's got the depth of a puddle. there's something to be said for somebody who's just allowed to be fun, to have fun. Like, that kind of character I love. So, you know, he's like, he's the kind of guy that's like, I like to blow things up because I like to blow things up. Like, yeah. It's just a ton of fun. I love that. I love that character. So when he, when he was running, when they were running on the ship, and he, like, that one trooper is just like, halt, and he just chucks the thing at him.
Yes.
Like, oh, chucks the torpedo
in the
at
most
him,
yeah, in the most recent
down.
Episode, it was the guy with the flamethrower. They all get stuck for a second. Yeah. He just like, direct hit. Punk. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. I laughed so hard when that happened.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that, because I was doing my rewatch, and in the first episode they were talking about like how upgraded the Empire's armory is. Mm. And Crosshairs was staying next to me. It was like he actually cried in there. He's like, shut up, so did you. It's like, wow, like the love for... I mean, they even had the scene in Clone Wars where Anakin's mission was successful and, like, planting all the bombs. He's like, here, you want to press the trigger? He's like, really? I'm so honored. And, like, hits the trigger, blows things up. So they really did establish his love for blowing things up very early on, and it's been quite a common factor in the show.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. And you bring up the fact that he's basically a giant kid, and that's what made you... We talk about that whole inhibitor chip and him having the headaches and where that was leading. I was one of the early people, not to like pat myself on the back too much, but I had those fears that it was going to go to a dark place, and while it did come to a nice resolution, it's worth noting how the juxtaposition between him being that giant kid character to going and being absolutely terrifying just made it that much more poignant and that much more heartbreaking. And I can't help but think back on the beginning of that episode when he and Omega are talking about to go get the Martell mix in the first place, and they have to kind of convince Hunter to do it. And he's like, you know, it makes the kid happy. And he's like, yeah, right, the kid.
The kid.
He's even more excited than Omega when
it
they get the approval to go.
It does make the kid happy.
The big one.
Right.
It makes both of the kids. Just go. That's what I feel. I feel like Hunter now has two kids to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one can go toe-to-toe with the Rancor. The other just kind of gets into trouble.
Mm. Ah, yeah. Oh, man. That Rancor fight was real good. That was the most that we got out of him until the droid factory and, you know, when he was, like, saying, a good soldier in the factory. I was like, oh, no!
Right.
Like, that was when we really started getting something out of him. But seeing him get to just embrace the fact that he's that big, strong, dumb character and, like, fighting with an adolescent Rancor, just slugging it out, was so... it touched my heart, you know? Like, let the fun character be fun.
Right, right.
Did you ever watch the first Pokemon movie?
No.
Well, there was a scene towards the end where it's like Pikachu and clone Pikachu were just like exhausted, so all they were doing was slapping each other until one passed out, and that's exactly
I've seen the gif of that.
Yeah. Glad you had some exposure to it.
Not to go too off subject, when you bring that up, I can't help but think of like Magikarp and Splash Attack. There was this internet video from a few years back where basically it just had this never-ending loop where it was these two Pokemon fighters attacking each other with Magikarp splash attacks.
Oh, no.
Hilarious.
That Game Boy would have died.
There was one episode of Pokemon that I remember where Ash and whoever it was that he was battling against, they both had... like a Kakuna and a Metapod, and they were like, Harden!
Oh,
harden
that was
more!
So early in the series, yes.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
It was harden more, harden harder! Like, it's like, no, this is not how you win this fight. You can't just stop.
So, yeah. Jeff, you were pretty quick to bring up Wrecker. Would you say that he's your favorite member of Clone Force 99? I almost said Task Force 99. Getting my universes mixed up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. He's my favorite. Okay. You know, he's the fun one. Like I said, I identify with Tech as far as like what my day job is. But as far as like just, you know, characters that I like to watch, it's Wrecker. Wrecker's just so great. And like, especially when he puts his helmet on, because he looks like a football player about to go out on the field, just like, I'm going to have a good time.
For sure.
Like, slams his helmet down.
I think his is my favorite helmet because it has more of the skull painted like all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But my perspective of Tech and Wrecker have flipped because I really liked Tech at first, and then I was just kind of like, all right, we got the brute dumb character in Wrecker. But they've added like so much level of personality to Wrecker that I like him more. But Tech is also like that person that he's an asshole about knowing things.
Right.
And he's just very presumptuous that like just because he noticed it, everybody else did. It's like, how many times are you going to like potentially mess up the mission because you did not convey the information when you were supposed to? And sometimes I feel like it is part of like talking to the audience and like regards to like filling them in, like he has his opportunity to do that. But he's a lot of Sheldon without the comedic relief, and it's actually getting like more and more irritating every week, like how tunnel vision he is of just like,
you don't,
not something to just be like, oh yeah, I guess there are other people I need to work about.
You don't think the comedic relief is there?
I think with that he's Tech, gotten his comedic relief out of Echo.
Okay.
Yeah, bantering
Echo,
with Echo for
closer,
sure.
You know, Echo's closer on the technological brilliance scale.
Sure.
But he's, you know, he's obviously not quite there, but he's smart enough to be pissed off at Tech.
Yeah.
About what Tech is doing or not saying.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's the interesting thing about Echo is that every Star Wars property has had that convenient, helpful droid with them.
Right.
It's interesting that Echo is the droid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've got a droid. He's so helpful. Like, Wrecker curls him. He squats him.
Oh, the gonk. The gonk droid.
Oh, yeah. His only purpose on that ship is to be Wrecker's workout tool.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him do anything else.
I think Omega was using him as a pillow at one point in time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The feet were going, but he was on his side, so it's just like, it's just something to lean against.
That's
about it.
I definitely do want to dive a little deeper into Echo especially, but I wanted to circle back to Tech for a second because I do think some of the humor is still there. Just in some of the recent episodes, I think of like one that both times I watched got a good laugh out of me is when Sid said, keep this up and you'll start to see my ugly side, and he's like, that wasn't her ugly side. And then in this most recent episode, when he's on the bridge of the Jedi Starfighter with Omega, and she asks him, what were the Clone Wars like? And he gives that very matter-of-fact answer. It was a war on multiple fronts with multiple objectives that lasted 3 years. And she's like, but what was it like?
I just told you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it really, like that. That was funny, but it also just went to highlight how out of touch with emotions he is.
Yeah.
True.
And I don't know, it kind of felt like it distanced him from my liking a little bit. Like,
okay.
Like, damn, guy, this is a kid. Can't you just, like, tell her some emotions? Like, you probably have heard of one or two.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guy.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about how Omega pronounces her own name. But I did notice in that interaction that she just calls him Tick, which made me just want to go, Spoon! No?
Oh, yeah,
nobody?
Because of the Tick?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's another animated series that's had a couple of live-action renditions that I was a fan of both iterations, but if you don't know about the Tick, do yourself a favor.
Yeah. I mean, any chance to follow Patrick Warburton's career is a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. He's prolific.
You're going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. He's prolific, especially in the voice acting community. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of embarrassed to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it.
Oh, go for it.
I was watching a thing that is embarrassing to talk about, I guess, or embarrassing to admit that I was watching. I was watching Celebrity Family Feud on Hulu.
That's not even that bad. That's not that bad.
Okay. Like, I went out of my way to watch Family Feud on Hulu.
Okay.
It was Celebrity Family Feud. Patrick Warburton and his family were on there. They were they were one of the teams. And whenever I heard Steve Harvey say Patrick Warburton, I was like, and like I leapt forward off of the like away from my couch position, and I was like, oh my god, I love Patrick Warburton, and like I started trying to do a mimicry of his voice and everything, and then he spoke, and I was like, I'm not good at his voice.
He did, yeah. Like, we're kind of getting on another little train here, but he as somebody that likes to do a little bit of voices myself, obviously I don't have the acclaim that you have.
get your lips off my ass.
Exactly. His voice is so unique because he like simultaneously like hits these like almost kind of like falsetto notes, but he's got like a very deep baritone at the same time. So he's kind of like doing a number a bit like this, where he's getting real high, but at the same time, just like, and I'm still not doing it justice, but it's.
I thought you were yawning for a second.
Yeah, it's like he's either yawning or he's doing a Hank Hill. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, geez, Hank Hill's pretty tough to do too.
30 minutes into this,
I'll tell you what. Damn it, Bobby.
Yeah. Damn it, Zoo.
Dang on, man. Dang, let's get on back to this dang on podcast, man. We're doing that dang on animation deliberation here, man. Dang on. Tell you what. Whew. All right. Well, I know we need to get back to
that. I mean, but now I know the next time I ask you to record something, you'll be like, oh, I'm just so busy. I was like, ah, oh, Family Feud. Got it.
Yeah, it's the watching the Family Feud. It's like, I can't. The feud's on. It was Celebrity Family Feud, though.
Yeah.
So
yeah. With Patrick
Rob
Warburton.
Lowe's family was competing against Terrence Howard and his family. Oh. Like,
who intense. Won? Who won? Spoilers right. for Family Feud.
Rob Lowe. Back to Uncle Wrecker's family.
Uncle Wrecker? Yeah.
I really like Echo. I mean, he's had quite a... Because he was a big part of Clone Wars. He was quite the recurring character. And, like, every time you look at the probes in his head, it's just like, man, you've gone through a lot of shit to still be as active as you are.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I like, every time he shows up on screen, he's like, all right, we're going to go do this thing. Like, hey, we need to go do this thing. And I see his right arm is entirely replaced by whatever that thing is. Like,
the droid master key, I guess?
Yeah, like, the droid.
Sonic screwdriver. Yeah.
Yeah, the sonic screwdriver of the Star Wars universe. Like, he's got that on his arm. I'm like, how does he, like, in, how does he participate in gunfights, any fight? Like, I mean, I saw in the first episode, I guess, how he participates in, like, fisticuffs. You know,
sure.
he can, especially against droids. I'm sorry, clankers. He can, you know, he can use that to kind of scramble them, but, like, other than that, like, what does he do? Does he have, he's just, is he pistol bound and that's it now?
Well, yeah, and he also worked with Rex, Anakin, and Obi-Wan, so he was, like, one of the higher tier ones, so he's a very experienced soldier that's, he's able to adapt and fight with whatever the situation gives him, which is why the Bad Batch were so impressed with him, too, because even when they rescued him from the droid facility and he was all, like, messed up. He was just like, I'm still ready to fight. Like, put me to work. And they were just like, hey, you're jacked up. Do you want to be one of us now? And he's lived up to the reputation of being as beat up and deformed as he is and still being a functional soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's come a hell of a long way. I think in those like, the first episode, we had that sequence where he woke up to the medical droid and it was just so obvious and apparent how deep his PTSD was there, but talking about how Hunter has had to be like a parent to both Wrecker and Omega, I feel like Echo has really stepped up in a big way to act as a parental figure as well, especially to Omega. He's had to like kind of teach her some of those, and maybe it's less of a parental and more of an actual like commander, where maybe Hunter's being more of a father and he's being more of a commander, but he is teaching her some of those hard lessons, especially I think back on the when she's aiming and trying to shoot the bow for the first time, he's the one that tells her, you know, it's not always going to come easily. You like, have to work at this. And it seems like every member has had their opportunities to impart some knowledge on Omega, with the exception of maybe Tech, So maybe that's coming down the road.
So Hunter and Echo are the dads, Wrecker's the uncle, and Tech is the older sibling? Like, yeah, he has older sibling syndrome, in which he's, like, irritated all the time and just wants to be on his computer.
That's so accurate. It's so accurate.
Crosshair's probably the irritated twin that ran away from home.
Yep. Yep. What's going to happen with Crosshair? Like, what do you guys... in this most recent episode, when Crosshair showed up at this place where they got all their inhibitor chips taken out, were you begging the writers to give Crosshair an opportunity to get thrown into the machine and have his inhibitor chip taken out?
Yeah, because you see how much there's always an episode where it's like, oh, that's what Crosshair used to do. That was Crosshair's job. This was Crosshair's room, whatever. So you see that despite like how he's been, like that brotherhood with them is really strong. And it's like, I want that team to be back together, because there's even been situations where it's like they haven't been able to fill that Overwatch position. Wrecker got spotted super quick. Echo got attacked by that little dragon thingy. So it's like there's a huge void for them, like not just tactically, but as a family as well. And yeah, there could have been a great moment in which, you know, they stun him and put him in the thing and, you know, surgery him without consent, but at the same time, it's like,
if he consents after the fact, does it make it okay?
Maybe. That's an ethics thing. I was gonna say,
that's something we should leave to Fox.
I don't think they're gonna let us off that easy, and something like, one of the Bad Batch is going to die, and I feel like Crosshair is going to be one of them. That's my prediction, that I don't think they're going to let him off.
Yeah. Why are you going to hurt?
I think it's going to be like one of those situations where it's like, hey, we have an opportunity to be reunited, and it's like, nah, we're just, the Empire is going to kill Crosshair.
Before this most recent episode, I thought that the show really did... I thought they broadcasted where they were going to go with the series and where the characters were going to wind up, with Wrecker getting, you know, as scary as that moment was, but, you know, in the course of that episode, we got his inhibitor chip removed as well as all the others. I was like, okay, that's where we're going to wind up with Crosshair eventually. But all cards on the table, you talk about begging and hoping that his inhibitor chip maybe got fried or removed during that whole ion engine sequence. I'm still kind of hoping that's the fact. I kind of hope that his inhibitor chip is not in effect, and this is just Crosshair being the sadistic dude that he is. And I don't know if the series is going to go that dark or have that level of heartbreak, but I would absolutely love it if it did. If they made him one of the most iconic villains in the Star Wars franchise, I'd be totally down for it.
That would hurt so bad. Oh my God, that would rip out every heart. You know,
every heart
to like every and it, yeah, not like it wouldn't destroy feelings. It wouldn't hurt heartstrings. It would rip out literal hearts, man, for them to do that. Or like if Tarkin or the other guy that they put in charge that was bringing in the other troops or whatever,
Admiral
like
Rampart.
Rampart, yeah. I always thought his name was weird because it was like, that's a part of a wall.
It is, isn't it?
Admiral Fortification. Hey, guy. But like, if one of them had been like, you know what, this guy is going to be training everybody. I don't want him to catch stray inhibitor signals. Let's take out the chip just so that we have him. You know, since we cranked it up. That his brain's kind of saturated with for the Empire at this point. We don't need the chip anymore. He's good. Like if they did that, God, I would be upset. It would be a hell of a swing to do that. Like that's a big shot to take, and I'd be so mad if they did that just for the character. I wouldn't be mad at the writers. Like as this is a bad show. It's just I would be mad for the character because I want him to come back and I want him to have that brotherhood. And honestly, like watching the way that Omega handles the bow and kind of like it almost seemed like she was going to take on the role of the long range, you know, Overwatch person.
Right.
Having him come back and like teach her to actually do that and like show her how it's done would be just, it would be so great to have her like getting all of these lessons. And, you know, if something happens to the Bad Batch, like they all get kidnapped or whatever, or not kidnapped, but if they all get captured and she's out on her own, and she gets to employ all of the lessons that each of them gave to her and use each of those skills, that would be such a great thing.
That would be. That would be a nice, warm, and fuzzy way to end the series. I'd be okay with that again, as much as I'm talking about heartbreak over here.
Yeah. So, with how small she is, because you said that, with how small she is, I want to see her throw an explosive at a clone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's got to be a small one, like smoke grenade.
She has to pick up a barrel and like chuck it at someone.
She's got to pick up the photon torpedo. Okay.
Yeah, because she's building that arm strength now, so it makes sense.
Proton torpedo, not photon. That's Star Trek.
Right.
My bad.
Big boom boom canister.
Yeah. It was so. Oh god, that just reminded me of when she was working on the explosive. Wreck-Crew was like, all right, you got to disarm it. Go. She's like, whoa. And he's like, time's ticking.
Yep.
She's like, he's too first? Late. Get out.
He ran away too.
Yeah, he did. He's like, it was just a smoke bomb. You think I'd let you work on live munitions? Like, no, bro, that's still a live munition. It's just a much more mild one.
Right.
Jay Scotty brought up earlier about the chase scene with Finnick, and I expressed about how much I just love the consistency between the audio and the visuals across this whole universe. And the recent appreciation of that is when they were in the ship and the cannon went off.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when it made that sound, it was just kind of like the familiarity between everything. Because it's been so consistent throughout this franchise, it's just like whenever it comes in, it's just that little hint of appreciation of, man, that sounded perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I almost, when Wrecker threw those troopers out the window, basically.
Oh, yeah.
On the, in that same area, I was so expecting a Wilhelm scream.
Me too. Me too. Like, I'm with you.
Throw him out the window. And, like, I was waiting for it.
Yeah,
and
me too.
It didn't happen. I was like, oh, I'm disappointed.
It almost sounded like they set up for it too and then like cut it off.
Yeah, they were like, no, we're not going to give it to you. We're not going to give it to you.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that noticed that. That's great.
Yeah, it's too serious for Wilhelm scream. You can't have it. Like, I know you've got it in there. I know you've got it. Give it to me.
Well, we also talk about it being a kid's show a little bit and them pulling some of the punches, but I noticed on my rewatch of episode 8 when they went out of their way to stun the Scrapper Guild, but then right after that, so Echo stuns the last Scrapper guy that's getting away, but then the ship crashes immediately after that and his body gets flung off into like a crevice in the canyon. So like a completely limp body.
Falls into a canyon and he's like, well, that guy's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because he got shot or anything, but because he fell and cracked his skull open.
Right.
He wasn't dead before. He sure is now.
Yeah, right? That guy's gone. I guess we only got two now.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sad, even with the opening scene, like when that Jedi was being attacked, like she wasn't killing any of the clones. And they talked about how long she had been working with them. So even in that moment of confusion and knowing that she had a new enemy, she's like, no, but we were friends. I can't kill you. I'm just going to deflect these until I die. So that level of like compassion for their brothers and the people they've worked with, and like they have that, the vibe of, if they don't need to die, why should I go out of my way to kill them? Which is crazy because they're soldiers and that's what they do, but then you think about it, this just crossed my mind, they've only been shooting droids, so their like ability to actually kill people isn't something that they're actually used to doing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the major through lines in the questions of the show, and it's been asked a couple of different times, you know, their interactions with Sid, as well as the, was it the Martez sisters, I think, were the ones that we ran into. But then even in this final episode where Echo brought up the fact that had they been with Rex, they wouldn't have encountered any of these things. But Hunter keeps reinforcing the fact that Rex is on a different path than them. So what is his path? What is their path? Obviously, Hunter is very invested in Omega and wants to, you know, form this family. But I think it does beg the question, what does a soldier do when there's not a war to fight, you know? Where is their place in this ever-changing galaxy?
Rex has a different show that he's got to go be on.
Is that Ahsoka, I'm assuming?
No, wasn't he in Rebels?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Rebels. I don't know.
Yeah, he was in Rebels. He was really old.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he's got a different show to go be on.
All right.
Yeah, him and two others end up, like, retiring in one of their, like, six-legged tanks that they, like, converted into their home. And they're just, like, mindlessly going around this one planet. And it's interesting because they're retired from the Empire, so the Empire still kind of, like, checks up on them and they get, like, they get money for it, so like clones
kickbacks,
retire wow. and get to like go off whatever, and they're getting like their social security or whatever.
Wow.
And it was interesting how they're just kind of like roaming around and doing their own thing, and then they got recruited by, because Ahsoka told Ghost Squadron, like, hey, this is the guy that I worked with back in the day, you should go recruit him. And then Rex and his two homies join the Resistance, and Kanan has the issue of working with Rex because Clones killed his master.
Oh.
Interesting.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Such heartbreaking stuff.
Because
even, like, they got tired of being retired, so when they were fighting against the Empire, like, there was an opportunity for Ghost Squadron to get away. And they were just like, nope, we're soldiers first. We're just going to sacrifice ourselves and go out like soldiers do, and you guys can get out of here. And it was just that thing of, like, they were so ready to die, even in their old age, just for, like, fighting for the right reasons. And all of these are, like, Rex and the other two actually got their inhibitor chips removed, too. So they were just living life.
Right. And I think we...
Yeah, Rex said that he got his taken out, like, before the events of the most recent... this episode? Last episode?
He popped up...
in episode 6?
He was 7. Because he was there when...
Right.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah, he was there when Wrecker had to have the inhibitor chip removed and whatnot, so...
Yeah, so, spoilers for the end of the last season of Clone Wars, but Rex was with Ahsoka when Execute Order happened and was the first to start shooting at her. And Ahsoka actually knocked him out, dragged him to the medical bay, unconsensually gave him that surgery, and got the inhibitor chip removed. And then it was Ahsoka and Rex on the starship fighting the rest of the clones, trying not to kill them and get out of there.
Oof.
Yeah. They went through some shit.
That's rough.
So I think Rex is actually, like, presumed dead right now.
Yeah, I think he even made mention of as much, didn't he? I think Tech brought it up. You're, like, believed to be killed in action.
Oh, yeah.
He said it's easier to hide from the Empire that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easier to hide when they think you're dead.
Yeah.
That kind of throws into contention a little bit the whole, like, I'm retired and getting
a
pension.
I thought about
thing.
That as I was saying it, so maybe I need to do a little rewatch of that.
I guess we gotta go watch Rebels.
The other contention that I noticed that I asked Haley Hobbs about just to confirm, because if she doesn't know, then who does? Was Cut.
Law Keeper
the
Haley.
One. There was a whole storyline in Clone Wars about a clone that defected and then, like, had a family and just didn't want to go back to the war, who Rex, like, accidentally ran into, and they brought him up in the second episode. So then I was wondering, like, if he just defected in the middle of a battle, does he have an inhibitor chip? Does he even know he has one?
Ooh.
is he just like living his life and then like just hasn't heard execute order, and then somebody randomly brings it up and he just leaves his family and goes back to what he's supposed to do? Like, how does that part work? Is that another plot hole?
When we get the credits for the final episode of Bad Batch season 2 or Bad Batch season 1, it's going to say, this October, the Book of Cut. I don't know.
I mean, that's Feige, a great question. Like, in Filoni we trust, so it's like, I don't mind these little loopholes if they're not like totally impeding, because I can just kind of guess my imagination and work with the wonderful storytelling that we're getting, because Bad Batch has definitely met, if not exceeded, my standards so far.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe for Cut, maybe it's that he hasn't been around a Jedi.
Yeah. And now there aren't any.
Yeah. Like, if he runs into one later, he's just going to be like, must destroy. And they're going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? And he's like, it's a Jedi. Execute Order 66.
Or we finally get like a little bit of a glimpse into what all went down with like Luke Skywalker at his Jedi Academy one day. Cut just shows up there, crash lands a ship there, and they're just like, what the hell? They just take him out unceremoniously. Yeah. I don't mean to be too disingenuous to a character people have become endeared to, but as we're kind of coming to an end here and wrapping up this conversation, we talked a little bit about where we want to see things progress with the character Crosshair, but I'll just kind of open up the conversation to anything you want to address. Where do you want to see the back half of this season go? Any of the characters, any of the through lines? I mean, outside of the things that we brought up, the chain codes are another interesting world-building thing that's taking place as the Empire is taking over. So what do you guys want to talk about? What do you got?
Thanks, Filoni. Yeah, the chain codes were a weird thing from Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, him not, or the Mando himself not taking off his helmet and being like, this is the way. And like, you know, I remember Fox telling me there's so many instances of Mandalorians taking off their helmets in the Clone Wars. Like,
right. This
is not a thing that I have ever heard of them talking about. So, you know, the whole, like, having Filoni take us down this path of, like, this is how we got here has been really, really awesome to, like, because, you know, it's just like, this is the world and I will eventually fill you in, but this is what they're having to deal with. We don't have time for exposition. We got to deal with it.
Right. Right.
I love that they've got the trust in us to come along for the ride to be able to do that. I really appreciate that out of the creators of this show as well as the other Star Wars shows.
Yeah.
Because they've all been really good so far.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally.
Or it's like, especially recently, you know, they've been real good. We're in a bit of a renaissance of Star Wars coming back.
Agreed.
I also feel like, in my personal opinion, we're not going down this derail, but like, I wasn't a fan of the sequel trilogy, and I feel like this kind of brings me back to what I appreciate in the Star Wars universe, and it's I like the prequel stuff, not a big fan of the sequel stuff, and the fact that they're pushing more on Revenge of the Sith and filling in that gap and coming in closer to like how the rebellion started, what led to the events of the original trilogy, how all that connects, as opposed to having this sequel trilogy that was like way further down, like it feels more molded now. And as much as I love Jedi stuff, there's so much storytelling to do in this universe about, like, the everyday Joe Schmo.
Yep.
And these are the opportunities to look at those stories and look at the world, because we see these damn near invincible space sorcerers or whatever terms they give them throughout this show or Marvel or whatever, space wizards,
Wizards have hats. Okay.
Yeah. So as much as they're focused on like how powerful these people are, like if you look at some of the other Jedi, we've been watching from the perspective of a couple of the most powerful Jedi alive that we don't even know what the skill set of like the mediocre ones are.
That's
so
right,
we get to experience that a little bit. We get to experience like how proficient clones actually were. We get to see what the bounty hunters are like, and what the underworld is like, and the world building, and how other people were affected by it. Who likes the Empire? Who doesn't? Was it good? Was it bad? So much to talk about. And the fact that we get to like solidify this world that we already love so much is something that I'm really proud of them for pursuing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, to build on that a little bit, the character of Cid is one of the best ones for world building because Cid, like, you know, Cid is dealing with people that are bad people, dealing with people that are maybe good people. Like, Cid was, what I guess, integral to Jabba the Hutt getting his rancor. Like,
yeah, Mushi. That's right.
Yeah, Mushi. Anyway, sorry. So, like, Cid is kind of integral to that whole thing, and, like, there's so much... There's, like, the Empire can be good for some people, but it also, you know, like we've seen with some of the main characters in Skywalker Saga, like, it's not good for other people, and, you know, they're oppressive. But there are some people who have had an opportunity that, you know, that they didn't have under the Republic, and... There's going to be people that get endeared to the Empire because of that. And I hate to bring up a recent episode of a Marvel thing because we're here talking about Star Wars, but in Loki, he recently said, I know something that children don't is that not everybody who's good is all good. Not everybody who's bad is entirely bad.
Right.
And I love that, especially in an animated series, which, you know, often feels like it's supposed to be for kids, they get to have these characters with such nuance, and they have all these different aspects of life, you know, and people who are doing bad things for good reason and good things for bad reasons, and you know, the whole gamut. Like, we get to see all aspects of life in the galaxy. It's great.
Rogue One hits that a lot as well in regards to, like, how Saw Gerrera saw the Rebellion versus how Cassian saw the Rebellion versus how Jyn Erso saw it. Like, the Rebellion is arguing with themselves quite a bit.
And all three of those were different from how Leia does it.
They don't know how they want to structure and how they want to proceed or why they hate the Empire. And, you know, that happens in Rebels a lot, too, because they interact with Leia and Saw. It's like, why are you doing the way you are? Why are you doing this? We shouldn't be doing this. Like, Saw says in the second episode, like, sure, the Clone Wars just ended, but the Civil War is just now beginning. And that's not only between the Republic or the former Republic and the Empire, but it's between the citizens and the people who are wanting to rebel, like, against each other, too. Like, it's just, it is utter chaos that... You see, it took a long time to get perspectives together before they took out the first Death Star. And even in Rogue One and in the Death Star sequence, it was kind of like everybody wasn't on board with it. It was like, some of us are going to go. We're just going to hope we have backup.
Oh, man. There's so much. There's so much character. There's so much good character in this franchise now.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Thank you, Filoni.
It's good to be a Star Wars fan again.
Yeah. On the subject of character, I do have one final question for you guys. What's a character that we have not seen yet that you would like to see introduced into the series? I'm going to say Orson Krennic. We were just talking about Rogue One. I think he's perfect. Go ahead and show some of his first interactions with Tarkin. Why not? Not to put you guys on the spot too much.
I'm thinking... See, a lot of my knowledge of the Star Wars verse is in the Old Republic.
Are there any bounty hunters? They've done a really good job with the bounty hunters between Fennec Shand and then Cad Bane. Like, I was on record saying Cad Bane's not somebody I'm super familiar with, but the, 3 minutes of screen time we got with him was excellent.
Actually, yeah. After, you know, Cad Bane was another one of those characters where I was like, just do a little bit of Googling here.
Yeah.
but having a young Boba under the tutelage of Cad Bane in this series would be amazing.
There
to
you
see.
Go. Nice. I like it.
Oh, my God. If Omega gets to play with young Boba. There it is. That's the scene. That's the one. That's that. Oh, creme de la creme right there.
I like it.
My excitement for Boba's not as high because he showed up in Clone Wars a few times as a kid.
Okay.
But Din Djarin's story happened during the Clone Wars. What if you got to see a kid version of him?
Ooh, yeah.
And then we could see a young version of him, maybe with like his adopted parents or, you know, learning the ways of the Mandalorian.
Okay.
Because I feel like they're kind of in hiding right now, too, or at least his tribe or his faction of it is. We could see...
Yeah, the covert.
Ahsoka's kind of the obvious answer. Like, yeah, we want to see her work with the Rex and maybe start, like, playing Seeds of Rebellion and whatnot. But I really want to see Anakin turning into Vader. Because this is right during Revenge of the Sith, so, like, he's still limbless on a chair right now.
Right.
And kind of seeing the progression of the process of, like, oh, hey, how's Darth Vader doing? And you see, like, the surgery of him, like, actually getting his things attached or learning how to walk or, you know, getting fitted for a helmet.
Right at the end. That happened right at the end, right?
What was the time gap?
That's fair.
What was the time gap of him having his no scene and when when execute order actually hit or when he actually got burned?
Well, it wasn't that long, though. Like, right after that is when Padme went into her little, my heart is broken.
Right.
I can't go on living thing.
It's been a little bit since I watched Revenge of the Sith, but I think they intercut those scenes between, you know, Anakin's transformation and Padme's death / the birth of Luke and Leia on Polis Massa.
Yes.
So I believe that we're led to believe that they happened concurrently, but...
But there's nothing that happened in the Revenge of Sith that says that that has to be the case.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
cool,
totally.
We have the good back and forth, but, like, he could have been going through limb attachment surgery or maybe some replacements or learning how to walk or physical therapy or whatnot for, like,
he's
months.
He's going to do physical therapy. Oh, man.
Make sure you can use the Force with your robotic hand.
Oh, my God. Getting a fresh Vader learning how to walk again would be so funny.
Dude, I want to see a gag reel of him using his robotic arm to, like, pull the lightsaber to himself, and it just keeps hitting himself in the face.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love Vader, but I want to see that.
we just got Vader back to being the badass in the hallway in Rogue One, and you want to immediately make him the comic relief.
Therapy is a process, okay?
Yeah, it takes work, all right? Like, that was 18 years of work to get to that point. Oh, man, it's so funny.
I mean, he got to the point where he could use the Force to move his cape in the middle of space, so...
Yeah, I mean, your lack of faith in him is disturbing.
Yeah.
But I do want to see... I want to see Darth Vader going through some type of rehab phase. Maybe whether it be, like, the limbs are still being attached, or they're talking about, like, what could be better for his movement and ability, and you see him, like... kind of working the lightsaber with the state that he's in, or just talking to the Emperor. I don't know if I want to see him interact with the Bad Batch. Oh, I don't know how much you guys know about it.
We decided to give you six legs for extra mobility.
Grievous?
No, I don't want this.
Yeah, Grievous and Maul both did that, so at least they'd be consistent.
Oh, speaking of, Maul would be a really, really fun addition here.
Oh, okay.
Because he came back in Rebels, right?
Oh, please, please, please just watch the last season of Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a big part of Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He took over Mandalore.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
There was a
I remember reading that.
there was a really, really good fight scene between Ahsoka and Darth Maul in the last season. Those last four episodes of the last season were basically a movie of its own. It was incredible. And it was going, like, line to line with Revenge of the Sith. So it's like, hey, where's Obi-Wan? Oh, he's on Utapau right now. It's like, oh, this changed in the story because we just got word that Dooku was killed. And then in the middle of the show, it's like, oh, execute order is happening. So
yeah,
the way they line everything up was just so, so beautifully done.
Yeah. I haven't seen the episode, obviously, myself either. But if I'm not mistaken, they actually brought Ray Park in to do, like, the fight choreography and do the motion capture. And that whole, they basically choreographed that whole fight with two people there with swords and basically just took the motion capture and animated that, so.
It was so good.
Yeah, I've heard the best awesome. Things about it, and Jeff, I know you watch the Corridor Guys stuff, so they did the stuntmen react for that particular fight. They actually brought in the stunt actress that did Ahsoka's movements, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely looks pretty sick. I'll have to get on it. Okay, did you guys have any other final thoughts you need to get off your chest concerning Bad Batch, the first half, episodes 1-8?
I'm just hoping the second half of the show isn't as episodic.
Yeah,
I'm hoping because that's what Mandalorian does too, is like episodic. And the last 2-3 episodes, like, really go in hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping at least 5 of the next 8 episodes do that.
Yeah,
it's the Filoni formula,
because there's no guarantee of a season 2 of this too. Like, all of these characters could be dead by the end of the season for all we know, so it's like, I want the most of it.
Yeah, we don't know where they end up after this.
Yeah, with that in mind, I'm kind of hoping that the kidnapping of Omega is not a resolved within one episode. I think it's a good opportunity to have some real character growth for Hunter. And as great a character as he's been, I can't help but notice in the course of this conversation, he's the one that we've talked the least about. I mean, he's got a really cool power set, but just something about the show, I don't want to say it's doing a disservice to him, but just kind of having to be that stoic leader. You see it in other shows kind of like this. I've made the comparisons to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the past, but Leonardo kind of falls into a similar rut, I would say. Do you guys agree with any of that?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the you know, like we said, he's the dad. He's the dad of the group. And, you know, he's had to grow as the, you know, being the leader, he's kind of slotted into that. And it kind of makes him a little more straight and narrow. He gets to have less fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we still get to see how much of a badass he is when, like, he's tracking things. And, like, when Tech looks at the water... in episode 7, he's like, don't go below the water line.
You're right.
And, like, he just knows that there's something in there.
Right.
He knows, like, these are the signs. Just looking at it, just like, yep, there's something down there that wants to eat us. As long as we don't go down there, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, seeing him grow, he's growing in a different way. He's got different character traits that he's building, in that he's having to be the parental figure and caretaker of Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, and he's learning how to deal with her, and not, you know, she's not a soldier, so he's having to learn how to deal with somebody who's not a soldier but definitely wants to be there with him, and, you know, making decisions for her that are in her best interest that she doesn't like are
right.
Maybe not the best ways to go about it, you know, mm-hmm. in that cut and run episode.
Right.
But like having the, what's the term that I'm looking for? Like having the mental ability to stop yourself from just giving an order and kind of checking in, you know, hey, Omega, you know, what do you want to do about this thing? Like, what is your what is your thought on this? Because you are a person, you know, it's like, you are a person, you have feelings. How will this affect you? You know, it's not necessarily so consequential. Like, do you want a room, you know, on the battlefield? It's like, yes, get down. You have to do this.
Sure.
You know, I'm saving your life. But like for the less consequential things, like, talk to her. You know, he's learning to talk to her as a person.
Yeah,
and it's definitely great to see that growth in him. It's just, it's a bit more subtle, is all.
That's true. Yeah. That's why I said I struggle to call it a disservice, because, yeah, it is more subtle, but it's there, so.
And I feel like you call it a disservice because when the Bad Batch was introduced in Clone Wars, like, they boast having never failed a mission. They right. lean into that in the beginning of this show as well. So they put these guys on such a high pedestal. You even see the rest of the troops be like, oh, crap, that's Clone Force 99. Like, mm-hmm. we're good. They never compliment them to their face, but, you know, Regs really think highly of them. So for them to be put up so high and then see them fail constantly and lose missions and get hurt. You see Wrecker get shot multiple times. Tex got in shock a couple of times. Echo's been knocked out. We're seeing their flaws. We're seeing their vulnerabilities. We're seeing them struggle with this transition that they have to make. The communication that you're talking about with Omega, he has this relationship with the rest of the team where it's like he doesn't even have to say anything because they understand their strengths and weaknesses, and they can be efficient based off of what they know and what they do. So he's trying to develop that caliber, because even in Clone Wars, he was the face of the group. He was the only one that ever talked to the generals and the commanders and the prime minister. He's the only one that talked to Tarkin, because he understands how out of line everybody is, that he has to represent them. He's responsible for all of them. He has no choice but to be like, they come first. Their well-being comes before my life. That's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. And that's any good leader. So, yeah, that's good perspective. I appreciate you guys kind of course-correcting me there, because I knew I liked the character.
You think about him wrong, and here's how you should do it.
And again, it's not that the writers did a bad job in portraying it. It's that the story is working in a way where it's like he's actually quote-unquote failing because of the situation he's put in.
Sure.
And if he was perfect every time, this wouldn't be as fun to watch. So hats off to the writers for actually making him seem like he's struggling and seem like he needs to adapt and needing to figure these things out, because it's kind of how life works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
He even had his own brother tell him, like, you're not fit to be the leader.
Yeah.
Like, tell me that hasn't stuck with him all this time, or every time somebody gets hurt or somebody fails.
Oh, no, it's totally stuck with him, because when they finally did have that reunion, and it's fitting that the episode was titled Reunion, but when he and Crosshair see each other for the first time, he's like, why did you have to come after us? Why did it have to be you? And then just a few minutes after that, he's like, your issue is with me, not her, referring to Omega. So I think even before Order 66 happened, there was a little bit of friction between those two that maybe we didn't see fully broadcast, but I do think about, you know, the four episodes that we got in season 7. There were a couple of times where I felt like Crosshair maybe questioned the leadership of not only Hunter, but Rex as well.
I don't know if I want to watch the last four episodes of Clone Wars or the last two of Bad Batch now.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Why not all of them?
So good.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yo soy hella tired.
Yo tengo cansado. Or yo soy cansada.
No, tengo cansado. Is have. Yo soy is.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into a Spanish language lesson here, but certain adjectives you actually say, like if you're talking, like if you want to say that I'm hungry, you actually say I have hunger instead of I am hungry.
I have sleepy.
All right, well, on that note, we have become a little bit of a bad batch. All right,
Family Feud.
Of our own.
Fair. I at least embrace it.
Yeah. I just want to take the opportunity. I do want to plug the coverage that we've been doing of this series so far with the Star Wars Universe podcast there with Matthew Fox. He's been great to bring us as a fledgling show, get some more eyes on us, so definitely appreciate that, and definitely go and check out the Star Wars Universe podcast, all the great things they're doing there. That is a part of the Stranded Panda Network that we are part of as well, obviously. And go to strandedpanda.com, check out all the wonderful things that are going on there. twitch.tv/strandedpandatv, for all the live casts that we do there. Trivia happens Wednesday nights at 7:30 Central. Usually some music and whatnot going on beforehand. Do you gentlemen have anything you want to bring up and plug?
Late Night Loki.
Late Night Loki is a thing here lately, and I think it's going to turn into Late Night Everything Marvel. Because they're...
Did they say Marvel specifically?
Well, Disney has decided that all the new series are coming out on Wednesdays.
Right.
All of them, not just Loki. So we'll get What If and Miss Marvel and Hawkeye, and I think those are the only other three that are coming out this year. But She-Hulk in the future, and, Moon Knight, like all of them are going to be Wednesdays. So we're going to have to come up with other names other than Late Night Loki. Midnight Miss Marvel, you know.
Okay.
Wee Hours What If.
Okay. Okay.
Sheer Exhaustion Hella She-Hulk. Tired
Hawkeye. I was going to say Hella Tired Hawkeye.
I like that one. Yeah, what is sleep?
What was that?
just all of these. And you know, Moon Knight is like by itself. That's it.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, we are the Moon Knights.
We own the Moon Knights.
So, but that being said, yeah, we are doing a 2 a.m. Central watch party of Marvel things. Right now we're watching Loki every Wednesday morning. We are then doing an instant reaction with myself and Matthew Carroll, mm-hmm. and usually Brian V. Klein. And then later Wednesday, we're doing another watch party for people who aren't crazy.
Yeah.
That starts at 5:05 p.m. Central. We watch the episode and then immediately do a podcast about it and then immediately go into trivia and then late night. So it's Wednesday is kind of booked solid for us at Stranded Panda headquarters. Mm-hmm. It's intense. It's a hell of a time, though. It's a lot of fun. I was really sad that I couldn't be on it this past Wednesday because of all the sinus crap that I had going on. But I still joined the Zoom call and was like, "Hey guys, I love you. Like, I can't put headphones on because my head will explode, but I love you."
Yeah, did you hear about the Stranded Panda Hefe guy that was in the chat just trying to like be a know-it-all?
Yeah, I know, right? God, I'm so rude.
So obnoxious.
God, it's the worst.
Hopefully he won't show up when you're back on.
Love you too, buddy. But yeah, that's all the plug I have. Oh, we should talk about, since it's a network thing, we've got a partnership, an affiliation with Fifth Sun.
Please.
And they've got a ton of great shirts of all different categories. When I look at Fifth Sun, I hit category, I hit movies. The first one that's on there is Star Wars. So, you know, we've got great shirts of The Child from The Mandalorian. Here's one that says Yoda, best dad ever. You know, protect our forests with
they have
a bunch of Ewoks on it.
They have a shirt for each of the Bad Batch members' helmets on it.
Oh, that's super cool.
So I'm going to give you a link, Scoots. Yeah. I'm going to give you a link to one of these shirts, and we can put that in the show notes and,
yes, indeed.
You know, have everybody go and check that out.
And what if they just follow that link, it'll automatically give us the affiliate points, or do they need to enter a special code upon checkout?
There's not a code that they need to enter. They just go in there. Follow our link, and we will get credit because they use cookies for that sort of thing.
Awesome, yeah. Check the show description, the show notes. I will have that there. Zuhair, anything?
Some.
What's that?
I want these shirts.
If you're feeling so generous and want to donate to your local Zuhair.
My tag like is typically Z with 5 U's. 786 on most platforms, so you might find my Venmo there. I don't know.
Oh man, that's a good Wrecker shirt,
right? Oh,
yeah. I'm looking at these helmets now. This is good stuff.
Let us know what your favorite Bad Batch shirt is.
From Fifth Son is at animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com. We will read those next week. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Jeff for appearing. It wouldn't be an episode that I participate in if I didn't take another opportunity to do some ass kissing. So thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
I already told you, get your lips off my ass.
At least it's not French.
No,
that's
not
another
that.
Great thing that happens on Late Night Loki. We get loopy. Late Night Loopy Loki talks.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, keep tuning in. That's TOONIN.
Stay whelmed.